Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the most underrated social networks for expanding your audience and for getting a lot of clients is LinkedIn. And if you leverage it the right way, you can generate nonstop sales, clients, and revenue. And in this episode, we're going to take a deep dive into LinkedIn and how to use it for business to grow business, to get more clients. And we have a really great guest for you. Today's guest is an online course creator and best-selling author who helps business coaches, consultants, entrepreneurs, and small business owners generate quality leads, build their client base, and increase revenue using digital marketing platforms and tools like LinkedIn and webinars. The Minneapolis-based social media consultant has personally rewritten LinkedIn profiles for A-list entrepreneurs, including Chris Brogren, Marie Smith, John Lee Dumas, Bob Berg, Tom Ziegler, Jarek Robbins, Dan Miller, Ray Edwards, and many others. And while he's not consulting world-class entrepreneurs, he's regular guest blogging for places like Inc. and American City Business Journals. And he's been featured in Huffington Post, Business Insider, a bunch of other places as well. And without any further ado, today's guest for episode 193 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than John Nemo. John, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Wow, thanks, Mark. That guy sounds impressive. That was a nice intro, my man. Thank you.
My pleasure, John. And I'm really looking forward to this interview. And I mean, I've been trying LinkedIn. I've been using it a lot for my business lately. So I have some insights that I want to share and like hear your thoughts on them. But before we go into the whole using LinkedIn to grow your business, to get clients, and I think this is a really great social network for more people to understand. But before we do all of that, I'd like to get some background. So why did you decide to help business owners with LinkedIn?
Well, it all started, it was a dark and stormy night. No, I'm just kidding. As you're going to tell, as your listeners are going to tell, I like to have a lot of fun and joke around. But basically, it's kind of a long journey. I'll give you the very short version. So I grew up as the son of two English teachers, loved storytelling, loved books, got into a career in journalism, newspapers, transitioned into PR, transitioned from that into kind of PR and social media, always had a day job, working for trade associations and things like that. And back in 2012, I really had this itch to go out on my own, to start my own company, to start my own business, create my own marketing agency. And so what I did was I took this huge risk, this huge leap of faith, where I quit this safe 6-figure day job I had for a trade association, and I went out on my own. I had one client, enough money for 30 days. I had my 3 young boys at home. My wife was not working. And so I had to make it go. Like, I was on the tightrope. There was no net. And really what I had found and what gave me confidence to take that leap was, even back in 2012, I saw an opportunity with LinkedIn, not to use it like a virtual resume, not to use it just to find jobs, but to use it to find clients. And so sure enough, once I got going on my own with LinkedIn, in 90 days, I was able to generate 6 figures in revenue for this new marketing agency, which, by the way, was just me in my bedroom on a folding card table. But nobody has to know that, Mark. It's the internet, right? Like, as far as you know, Nemo Media Group has a high rise in New York, you know. But I mean, that was the beginning of it. That was the origin of it. And what's happened over the past 6 years is, you know, I ran a marketing agency, had a lot of fun, decided that wasn't what I wanted to do forever. So I closed that down and I transitioned into creating online courses. And one of the natural things that came out of the whole experience was all the clients that I would get using LinkedIn would say, teach us how to do that. You know, you caught me fishing on LinkedIn, teach me how to fish. You know, so what I did was eventually I wrote a book, LinkedIn Riches, created an online course, which is the same name, LinkedIn Riches. And now, you know, what I do is really help, you know, businesses, you know, consultants, coaches, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs use it to really find and engage and sell to their clients. And that's really where my current role has come from was, you know, like most people, using it myself to get business, having all the success, and then transitioning now into teaching other people how to do the same thing I did.
And it's a really interesting story. And before we go on, I would like to say that anyone who wants John's copy of LinkedIn Riches, that will be in the show notes at LinkedInRiches.com is the URL, but we'll also put that in the show notes for you. And when you hear a story about just getting to six figures in general is impressive, but the fact that you use LinkedIn and made that happen in 90 days is really impressive, and I can see why your book's a bestseller. I mean, who wouldn't want to know how to get those kinds of results? And with that in mind, I'm wondering, where do you go about finding the clients on LinkedIn? Is it connecting with people like one at a time? Is it groups? Is it a combination? Where are you going to find the clients on LinkedIn?
Yeah, great question. And to kind of give people a lay of the land for LinkedIn, because Mark, you are not alone in kind of looking at LinkedIn going, kind of shoulder shrug, you know, whatever, kind of meh, right? Whatever we're saying nowadays. It's not exciting. It's not Facebook. It's not Instagram. It's not sexy, right? It's LinkedIn, blah. But here's the deal. LinkedIn today has 600 million members in 200 different countries. They get 2 new members every second of the day join. And what LinkedIn has done, which is so brilliant, is they've indexed every piece of data about every single member. So now when you reverse engineer that as someone that wants to, you know, do sales, finding clients on LinkedIn, it's basically Google search for prospects. Like I can literally use LinkedIn like Google. I can type in the job title of the person I want to sell to. I can go on LinkedIn, type into the, you know, built-in search engine there, business coach, and out of those 600 million profiles, it'll immediately narrow it down to how many every million business coaches there are. And then I can go even further and say, well, now I want business coaches where I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Okay, filter it even more. Now I want business coaches who live in Minneapolis who went to this specific college, the University of Minnesota. I can filter that. And then I can also say, since this is the Golden Gophers, and we talked this way in Minnesota, Mark, go Gophers, okay? Right? There's your Minnesota accent for free. No extra charge required for the listeners today. Now I've got a hyper-focused, hyper-targeted list, by the way, completely free, okay, of business coaches who live in Minneapolis who went to the University of Minnesota that I can approach and immediately build instant chemistry and camaraderie with based on those icebreakers, where they live, where they went to school. And so my recommendation, and I'll break all this down for people, but the best way right now to find and engage and sell to people on LinkedIn is one-on-one personal connection, one-on-one engagement, one-on-one messages, one-on-one, you know, situations, not the groups, not posting a bunch of content, not, you know, doing all the other stuff. LinkedIn has tons of features and tons of bells and whistles and tons of different rabbit holes you can go down. Here's the deal. It still boils down to being a human being. And what I really try to relate to people when I do LinkedIn trainings is think of it like a virtual coffee shop, right? It's the world's largest coffee shop. You're doing a bunch of one-on-one coffee meetings with business coaches from Minneapolis, one filing in after another. They sit down at the table, you talk to them, he gets up, the next guy comes in, right? That's what you're scaling on LinkedIn. You're doing these personal one-on-one engagements and interactions. And when you use LinkedIn this way, because again, I can look at Mark's profile and see all these different icebreakers. Where does he live? Where did he go to college? What are his hobbies? You know, what are his honors and awards? I can break the ice. I can start a conversation. and I can, you know, then pivot into talking business, all without leaving my desk, all without leaving my wobbly folding card table in my bedroom, right? That's how I did that with no budget. I did it without traveling, without doing trade shows or paid traffic or paid ads. And that's really where the magic is.
And so the way that you do this really advanced search allows you to find the right people, and that I would assume would increase the rate at which people, the conversion rate you would have for a prospect turning into a client. And what's the typical flow of one of those conversations? Does it lead to a quick call for determining whether you're a right fit? Like, how does that conversation usually flow?
Yeah, and I should take a step back. So to simplify this, there are three P's that we need to remember, okay? Three P's to be successful on LinkedIn. Number one is your profile. Number two is prospecting. And the third P is profit, baby, right? The selling part. So profile, prospecting, and profiting. And so the first step is having a client-facing profile. This is what 99% of people do wrong with LinkedIn. And I'm telling you right now, I can give you all these tips on searches and messages, but if your profile isn't formatted properly, people will just ignore you and not pay attention, not understand. And really, here's what it is. So almost everybody, you know, who got on LinkedIn how many ever years ago, and even what you do now, is people view it like a virtual resume, right? John Nemo's worked at such prestigious employers as blah, 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 right? We all talk about ourselves in the third person like we're a pro athlete, right? Like, we're just talking about ourselves. Here's the problem with that. Like, our customers, they don't care about us. They care about themselves, morning, noon, and after supper. That's from Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, 1936. Still to this day, the single most important business book I've ever read, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he talked about that. He's like, you got to make it about your customer. So what I did was I took my LinkedIn profile, and this is what I do in the trainings, and I have free templates people can get. We'll put it in the show notes. But basically, you flip your profile away from being a virtual resume, and you make it all about the clients, right? And so it says phrases like, what I do, I help, and then you insert your target audience. I help this audience achieve, and then a goal or an outcome that they want, and then you say, by providing your product or service. So for me, it might read, what I do, colon, I help business coaches and consultants generate more leads and add clients by providing LinkedIn training and resources, or something like that, right? And then you tweak your whole profile this way so it's really clear to the people you're connecting with, oh, he serves me. He's all about my industry. He has products and services for people just like me. And when I started and when I was able to generate all that revenue, I had a client-facing profile that was very niche. And this is another big thing before I move on to the other two P's is the riches are in the niches, man. You really got to niche out on LinkedIn. You can't be everything to everybody. Pick two or three target audiences that you really want to do well with and just dominate those niches on LinkedIn. So for me, for instance, one of my day jobs, I had done PR and marketing for a debt collection trade association, right? So that was an industry I worked in for the trade association doing PR and whatever for them. So I knew that industry well. I knew there was a need. So when I started my marketing agency, instead of saying, I'm doing marketing for anyone and everyone in, I said, I do debt collection agency marketing. So my LinkedIn headline at the time actually read, John Nemo, debt collection agency marketing. Debt collection agency PR services. And so what happened, Mark, here's how the dots connected. Profile was all debt collection niche faced. Now when I went prospecting, I connected with debt collection agency owners, the guys that could write the check for a new website or a marketing project. And when they looked at my profile, the headline and the copy was all about them. I serve your industry. I'm an expert. Here's why. Here's the backstory of how come I'm really good at serving you specifically? And they ate it up, man. They ate it up because we all want a vendor or a business provider who gets us, who gets our world, who's walked in our shoes, right? And then the third part is the prospecting, which we can break down more. But you know, I have what I call a messaging magic sequence, and I'll give that away too. We'll put it in the show notes. Just remind me. And basically, the way that it works on LinkedIn, to answer your original question, Mark, is once we get connected and I've got my profile, my foundation built, you know, first I'm going to break the ice with you, the initial message, you know, talk personal a little bit. Then I'm going to quickly pivot and offer something of value for free. So it could be a piece of content. It could be a free call to pick my brain. It could be something else, a free evaluation of your website for SEO, whatever it is. I'm going to pivot to something that I think you would really like. And I'm not going to do a heavy sell. I'm not going to talk pressure. I'm just going to say, you know, if you're interested in how to get this result, you know, I've got a great free resource. And then what I do is I say, just reply yes to this message and I'll shoot you a link or I'll send you my calendar. And what that does is it asks permission. This is a big thing with the psychology of selling on LinkedIn. Far too many people treat it like a TV commercial. They just come on, they connect, and they immediately try to sell you something, right? You got to do a little bit of professional courtship here. You can't marry everybody on the first date. And so what we do is you break the ice, you personalize the engagement, and then within that first 1 to 2 messages, you pivot right away to, hey, are you interested in trying to get X? Are you trying to get this result? Are you looking to improve your Google search results? Are you looking to, you know, get more clients online? Whatever your offer is, right, that you help people with. If so, I've got a great free resource called blank. And then you say, if you'd like a copy or if you'd like this free item, just reply yes. And then I always end up by saying, if not, no worries, right? And I'll circle back to them later. But that gets you a lot of quick wins because people will say, yes, I'm interested. You send them the free resource, content marketing, right? They go on your webinar, they read your blog, they opt in for your ebook. Now they're in your sales funnel. Or people say, yeah, in fact, we're looking for this exact service. Can we just jump on the phone and talk? And then you sell them on the phone, right? But it's the psychology of, you know, introducing yourself, being niche focused, personalizing, adding value right away without being salesy and earning the right to ask. That's the big thing I believe in is, you know, it's a mistake to ask people right away to get on the phone. You've got to earn that and you've got to ask that permission. And once you do, then you have a lot of success.
And like, there's just so much in that answer, man. Those resources that you mentioned, that will be in the show notes. We will include those, markverde.com/E193. But like, I really like how you broke it down to just those three P's, just to give us a few action steps for like what we have to do. And I really liked your advice on the profile also, like making it for the prospect who's coming in, because then that'll be more engaging, obviously result in more sales. But I feel like there are a lot of there are a lot more like Facebook and Twitter experts and other social media experts than there are LinkedIn experts, and I don't see as many articles talking about conversion rates. So I'm wondering, like, I don't know if you have the numbers on this, but when you are able to grow to 6 figures in 90 days, do you know the amount of people you connected with and engaged with on LinkedIn and the conversion rate you had for those people who became clients?
Great question. And this is, I did it all by hand. There were, like, nowadays there are automation tools for LinkedIn. So you can do, you know, 200 invites a day and 1,000 messages a day. And like, you can automate it almost like email blasts. And that's a whole nother story because LinkedIn doesn't like you doing that, but you can anyway. I'll get into that later if you want. But I mean, I did it all by hand and I converted like crazy. I reached out to very few people, but here's the difference, Mark. Instead of going wide, I went deep. I went to the exact decision maker. So I would maybe invite 25 people a day to connect, but they were debt collection agency owners. They were the exact decision maker. There was no gatekeeper. So out of those 25, let's say, you know, 40 to 50% is pretty good for a personal invite. That's it. That many would accept. Out of those 10, then I would take the time to send a personal note. Oh, hey, I see you live in, you know, Minneapolis and went to this school. Are you still a fan of the Gophers? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, are you looking for any help with your debt collection marketing? If you are, I've got this free blah, 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 blah. You know, and then maybe half of those people would say, yeah, I'm interested, right? But for me, that engagement was priceless because even if they didn't sign on right away, I now had them in a funnel, right? And I now had them front of mind. And what happened was, because I was selling higher ticket stuff, I didn't need to get 50 new clients a day, right? I'll give you one quick win example that'll get people excited and they'll remember this because it's an incredible story. I call it Send It In Jerome. Okay, this is a perfect example of how I got a quick win. And this took all of 14 seconds to get a $10,000 marketing contract. So here's what I did. I had my profile, my first P, client-facing debt collection marketing guy. I went prospecting. I found a guy who lived in Delaware that was the VP of a collection agency. So he was the decision maker in charge of their marketing budget. And then I connected with him, sent a personal invite. He accepted. And then I moved into the third P, profiting. And I sent this, you know, message where I basically looked at his profile and I was like, what can I personalize? What can I mention? I noticed looking through his profile, he went to the University of Pittsburgh in the 1980s. Okay. So it was like 84 to 88. And I'm older, I'm 43. So I remember the 80s very well, baby. I had the tube socks, you name it, right? Like I ran to the arcade with my quarters. Oh, it was awesome, dude. And anyway, I'm like, what do I know about Pitt during the 80s? What do I know about that school during the 80s? And I'm a huge sports fan. So I was thinking of college sports and what about, oh yeah, Pitt basketball. They were really good at basketball. They were ranked in the top 20 and they had this famous play. I think it was from 1987 or 88, which were the years that that guy went to school there, called Send It In Jerome, where during a basketball game, a guy named Jerome Lane went down the court on a fast break, took a pass, went up, dunked the basketball, and the whole backboard shattered. Glass came raining down, the rim broke, and it was on national TV at the time. And the announcer, Bill Rafferty, who's this famous college basketball announcer, yelled into the microphone, "Send it in, Jerome! Send it in!" Right? And it became this epic moment. Today it would be like, you know, blowing up social media, you know, but even in the 80s, it was huge, right? So I knew within 14 seconds, this guy went to Pitt during the 80s. That's when that play happened. I'm going to work that in as a personal, you know, icebreaker to my message. So I send him my normal message and I go, I see you went to Pitt in the 80s. I got to know, do you remember this? And then I sent a link to the YouTube video of Jerome Lane dunking. I kid you not, within 60 seconds, he writes me back, "I was at the game," right? Like he was there. Like he's like, "The arena exploded. Oh my God." You know, and I can almost hear the song Glory Days playing in the background, right? Like he's back in college, right? And think about marketing. When you make people emotional, when they feel something, you know, the enthusiasm, like they get connected to you. There's an emotional connection with him and me now, right? I went beyond, you know, John Nemo, LinkedIn invite vendor guy to, we're talking Send It In Jerome, baby. And it turns out, of course, now he's back in the glory days of Pitt, you know, University athletics. He was a varsity soccer player there. He got recruited. He knew all the basketball guys. Dan Marino was a guy that helped, you know, recruit him to campus. Dan Marino, NFL quarterback, was there. So it's like he immediately was curious now, right? So the next thing he did was he went to the first P profile. He looked at my profile. Who is this Nemo guy? What is this? Oh, debt collection marketing. Huh. I'm in charge of marketing at my debt collection agency. Let me look at his profile. So he writes me back another message like 2 minutes later and says, "Hey, I was really curious. So I looked at your profile. Man, you sound like just what we're looking for. We actually were just about to go looking for vendors for debt collection marketing. We need a new website. We need this. We need that. And so can we have a phone call?" I'm like, sure, right? So immediately the next morning we jump on a call. I land a $10,000 marketing contract with this guy, all from that interaction, right? That was a massive quick win off LinkedIn. And what was great about it, Mark, was, you know, a year later when I'm auditing my client list and asking people, you know, what really won you over to, you know, Nemo Media Group and all this and that. And he goes, "Dude, it was Send It In Jerome." He's like, "That was so much fun." He goes, listen to this. He said, "I knew I would enjoy working with you. I knew it would be fun to work with you." Wow. "And you provided the services we need, all that stuff, but I knew I would enjoy it." And he said, "You know, you became known around our office whenever I'd say, oh, the vendor, they go, oh, Send It In Jerome guy." Like I had a narrative that they could remember me by now, right? And it became a personal thing we could banter about and have inside jokes about. And when you do, you know, customer service and clients and sales, like that's what you do in real life anyway. You take them out to a ball game, you take them out to dinner, you know, wine them and dine them. Like this is just doing it on LinkedIn by simply looking at their profile, finding something to break the ice with, and you will get these quick wins because timing is everything. Now, some people weren't ready at that moment to buy, but they bought 6 months later, right? Like, I stayed in front of them, and there's a whole another story to how to stay in front of people, but that's an example of how this works.
And it's like, I really like how you went on the individual's profile, and you could strike a lot of conversations like that, and people it's easier for people to buy from their friends, and just being able to strike that conversation, bring someone back to their glory days in a sense, that can really make a big difference in getting that sale. And LinkedIn, there's like so much to it, not just getting clients by building connections, but it also has a lot of functions that other social networks have, like posting, publishing content, groups, and even groups that you could create on your own. And I'm wondering how you use the other parts of LinkedIn to grow your client base a little bit, because I know that what we already discussed was your main focus there, but also just getting traffic and growing your email list.
Yeah, great questions. Like, they just added a new feature as we're recording this where they're adding like stickers and filters to videos now. Like, they're trying to be Instagram. Like, LinkedIn, like Microsoft bought them a couple years ago for like $27 billion. And they're trying to, what they're doing is they're kind of like your slow, nerdy uncle that's trying to stay cool. Like, you know, they see other networks doing cool, hip features, and LinkedIn's like, oh, I can do that. Like, so they're trying. But here's how I use the other features. Like, the bread and butter, if you hear nothing else from me and you're like, dude, I just want to use it to make money, just connect with people one-on-one and follow my scripts and templates, and that's all you need to do. You can ignore the rest of LinkedIn, okay? It's that easy. Now, it has a bunch of other features that you can use for content marketing, really. I think the groups used to be really effective, and I used to prospect a lot in there. They've kind of become a wasteland, a spam fest. They're not effective anymore. Time is so limited, Mark. I wouldn't invest time and effort and energy in running a LinkedIn group. Facebook groups put them to shame as well because of all the features you can do with Facebook groups. You can go live and share video, and LinkedIn groups are not it. You're not able to do any of that. So I would ignore the groups. Just push those to the side. They've had their day, but they're kind of done. They do have some other great features. They have a freelance marketplace on there, so you can basically go on and hang out your shingle and get discovered, you know, so you can basically sign up. Let me go look. I got to remember I can't remember the name of it, but it's, hang on, I'm typing. I don't use it too much, but it's called LinkedIn. It's called ProFinder. That's the name of it. It's a freelance marketplace. If you go under the work tab on LinkedIn across the top, you'll see some extra things like post a job and use SlideShare and advertise. There's one called ProFinder where it's basically like their answer to Fiverr or, you know, the gig kind of websites. But I've gotten business from that because you just set up yourself one time and you're done. And then the way LinkedIn works, they utilize all this data, Mark. So if I go on LinkedIn today and say, I need an attorney in my zip code to help with a, you know, divorce or whatever, you can type that in and they'll surface attorneys in your area with, you know, profile pages and everything else through ProFinder. Or I need an SEO guy, or I need a tax lawyer, or I need a writer, and you'll get gigs that way. That's a one and done simple thing. I use a lot of content marketing on LinkedIn. So, you know, I'll post in the home feed 2-3 times a day, 4 times a day, and I'll mix and match. I'll do some original video, I'll do some photos, I'll do, you know, just some text. I'll link off of LinkedIn over to, you know, a webinar, a podcast, a blog post. I'll publish articles on LinkedIn. The nice thing about LinkedIn is everything you publish on the site, so an article, a status update, you know, anything you put on your profile, all of that is getting indexed and saved. And so LinkedIn will then resurface that content if someone is looking for something related to a post that you did. So for instance, if you do a status update about podcasting and, you know, use the hashtags LinkedIn recommends, when I go onto LinkedIn and I type in podcasting tips, they will surface content that has that hashtag in it or that phrase. It's like, it's like their answer to Google. So they want to keep you on LinkedIn. They don't want you leaving to find things. LinkedIn wants to be this one-stop shop for you. This is the place where you find a job, you find a freelancer, you find, you know, industry-specific content. LinkedIn has online training courses, right? They bought lynda.com for a couple billion dollars. You can take online training courses on LinkedIn. You can do this, you can do that. And so if you publish a lot of original content and you're smart about how you tag it and use the hashtags LinkedIn recommends, that's another way you quote unquote get found. It's like organic Google search. And also people always ask, well, what type of content, right? And what I find works really well on LinkedIn to, you know, grow your brand and increase it is kind of authentic, transparent content. So, you know, talk about a day in the life, you know, do that photo of, oh, I'm at this conference and here's what I'm hoping to learn. But also talk about real life obstacles and adversity and struggles you've overcome. So people feel like you're human and they can relate to you, right? And those are my most popular posts by a mile, is something a little more personal where you let your guard down, you're a little bit vulnerable, transparent, and you tie it into a business lesson. So one example is, you know, my business coach taught me a long time ago, income improvement follows self-improvement, right? If you don't work on your own stuff, you're never going to achieve the levels of success that you want. And this is Tony Robbins built his whole career off this, right? Mindset, you know, self-improvement. And it's true. And so I'll share stories from my own life about, you know, this is something I've had to deal with, you know, depression or adversity or whatever it might be. And boy, the engagement's off the charts. And not only in, you know, helping my personal brand, but people get to know you and like you then, Mark. They trust you. They're like, oh, he's being real here. Because, you know, newsflash, I'm not the only guy on earth with depression. There's a few more, you know, like it's not unique. And we trust people more who are vulnerable and who are real than the polished, perfect, never had a bad day, fake kind of personas, right? Like, I'm not going to buy an online course from somebody who never struggled or never had adversity, like, because I can't relate to you. And I'm going to feel like, well, you did it, but you're perfect. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way I can be what you are. Whereas when someone shares, yes, I have this content, this online course, this service, and here's the obstacles I overcame to get to it, and here's the mindset, and like, then you're like, okay, I can take that journey too. And that's a key thing with LinkedIn. There's so many other features. I'm trying to think here. I mean, you know, the messaging is really good. That's where a lot of, you know, hay is made. One great place to find leads is the Who Viewed Your Profile feature. So, you know, it's very simple to find. People will look at your profile and LinkedIn will tell you. They'll say, you know, Sally looked at your profile. Here's her name, face, a link to her account, and then you can go talk to her. And the big thing about LinkedIn, Mark, in any of these situations is getting context for conversations. Hey, Sally, I noticed you looked at my profile. I'm curious how you found me on LinkedIn. I'd love to get connected. By the way, I noticed you live in Minneapolis. How's the weather? Also, I see you're a business coach. Are you looking to find more clients using LinkedIn? If so, I've got a great free webinar I can send you a link to. Just hit yes and I'll shoot you a link. If not, no worries. Glad to get connected. Like there, I just did a quick marketing script to Sally. She's already warmed up because she was obviously looking at my profile. That's a warm lead for me, right? This is the magic of LinkedIn, is they give you context for conversations, right? So you've got places where someone likes or comments or shares your content. They give you that ability to see who it is, immediately connect to them and start talking to them. Hey, I'm so glad you like my post about, you know, overcoming, you know, adversity and blah, 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 blah. You know, also notice you do this. Are you looking for help with that? Like, that's how you tie these dots and, you know, connections together.
And I feel like the Who Looks at Your Profile feature, like, I love how you describe the LinkedIn gives you the context for having these conversations. I'm going to ask you a question. I think I know what your answer is going to be anyway, but LinkedIn is, like, out of all the social networks, the only, like, really big one that I know of that has a upgrade version where you pay a monthly fee and you get more features. And I'm wondering if you find that the LinkedIn premium worth the investment.
Yeah, great question. And the short answer is yes, it's worth it. The longer answer is it's really confusing, because LinkedIn, man, I wish I could just get a hold of Jeff Weiner and say, dude, can I help you with the marketing? It's so, you know, convoluted. And there's all these different premium plans. But basically, you know, the short answer is it's worth getting a premium level account. And the reason is simply you get more information on your prospects. you get better insight on who's looking at my profile, who's reading my stuff, who's interested in what I'm doing. You get more insight into those people, names, faces, you know, profile links. Whereas if you just have a free account, you get limitations put in place, or, you know, sometimes you can't see any of it. And so I use Sales Navigator. You don't have to go that high. That's their most expensive plan right now. They have other premium level business ones. They have ones for recruiters and ones for educators and things like that. Depending on your niche, you know, you can get any of them. But the key thing is, as well, you get more better search results. You get more search results if you have a premium profile. And if you're going to use LinkedIn like Google for prospecting, you want to have more reach. And that's where the paid profiles give you more of that reach, better results, better depth, bigger numbers, more searches. So yeah, it's definitely worth it.
And I do like that breakdown of LinkedIn Premium. It's something that I've never really looked into, but now that I'm taking LinkedIn seriously, I've been engaging with a lot of people on that platform. That is something that I will be looking into, but there are people listening to this right now who may have given LinkedIn a try, or in a lot of cases, you just use LinkedIn, you kind of leave it like and not really do too much to it because of all these other social networks. But for the people who are have been trotting along, putting in the work for LinkedIn, but not really seeing results, what do you believe holds most people back from being able to get the results they want on LinkedIn?
Great question, man. It's like you're good at this or something, Mark. It's the three P's, man. Number, most 99% of people don't have a client-facing profile. So there's a huge disconnect, because if I connect with you, Mark, and your profile doesn't tell me anything about how you can help me, I don't care, right? I'm selfish. I'm self-centered as a client and a prospect. I want to know, what can Mark do for me? So I need Mark's profile to be client-facing. It needs to be all about, I help John Nemo, right? Basically, like, I help this industry type of person get these results they want. That's number one. The second thing that I think a lot of people really struggle with is what to say, is how to engage. I really think that's where a lot of people struggle, is they don't know, right? And I try to give this analogy of, how would you act in real life face-to-face at a coffee shop? Would you immediately sit down and go, nice to meet you, Mark. So glad we got connected to have coffee. I would really like to offer you a sales brochure. Like, right, I want your money. Mark, take out your wallet. Let's go. Like, no, like, you just in courtship, right? Like, I would say, Mark, it's great to meet you. Tell me about yourself, right? I would get to know you a little bit. I'd break the ice. And then I would say, so what are you looking for help with? Are you looking for these things? Yeah. Let me tell you what I'm looking for. Okay, cool. Because I've got some things that might help you, and you can dive. You can take a look at them. They're free. There's no obligation with any of this stuff. Here's my thoughts. Like, that's how you need to approach LinkedIn. And then, you know, when people qualify themselves, then you can pivot to, great, you know, if you want to hire me, this is what it is. And that's where that messaging magic sequence will help people understand. I break it down to the different components of what a sequence looks like, you know. But that's a big thing holding people back. They don't know how to talk. Like, you don't try to marry somebody on the first date. Like, I don't know you yet. You just connected with me on LinkedIn. The other thing that's a real turnoff is you connect with someone on LinkedIn and then they tell you all about themselves and give you links to all their stuff, but they don't ask you about yourself, right? It's like, I don't care about all your stuff. Like, the first message I want from you on LinkedIn, if I'm a prospect, is, hey, so glad we got connected. I see you live in Minnesota. How's the weather? What are you looking for help with? Are you looking to get X, Y, or Z? And those should be, if you know your target audience, it should map to the services you provide, right? Are you looking to get more clients using YouTube? Are you looking to get more clients using SEO? Are you looking to get, you know, are you looking to improve your leadership through any type of coaching or seminars? And then you say, if you are, I've got blank, blank, and blank. Just let me know. Like, that's that pivot, that polite way to kind of engage people. Let them tell you, yes, I want this, I want that, I don't want this, I don't want that. And then what you do longer term, Mark, because I think this is the other thing, a lot of people just give up and move on. But I think longer term, you stay in front of them with content, right? You stay in front of them with, hey, thought you might find this helpful. It's a new post aimed specifically at you. And I know we're going to run out of time, but I mean, there's lots more ideas, but those are the big ones.
John, thank you for sharing some of those big ideas about, and I really liked, again, that whole idea of customizing the message based on the person, what the profile says. And I'm wondering right now if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us. I know you mentioned Dale Carnegie already, but I'm wondering if you could throw in three more.
Yeah. I would say three of the best books I've read recently that are really good. One is called Deep Work by Cal Newport. Man, is that good. It's all about understanding how distracted we're all getting with social media and notifications and how that's killing our creativity. And there's some, it's just a really good book, Deep Work. Another book I really like was called The Magic of Thinking Big. I think the guy's name is David Schwartz. It's a phenomenal book on mindset and really understanding this stuff. I think he wrote it in the 50s. And I mean, today's, you know, version is Tony Robbins, whatever, but it's just so good. The Magic of Thinking Big. Another book I really liked was called Story Wars. I think it's Jonah Sacks, Story Wars. Phenomenal book on the power of story in sales and marketing. Really understanding how that works and how we as humans are wired to encode and remember information if it's carried in a story. We can't remember facts and figures and, you know, rote memorization. But if you tell me a good story, like if I say send it in Jerome, you're going to remember the moral of that story, right? Personalize the invite, boom. Like you wouldn't necessarily remember the term or the lesson, but the story you won't forget because that's how our brains work. So yeah, third one would be Story Wars.
John, thank you for those great book recommendations. We'll have all those in the show notes, markbirdie.com/E193. And for anyone interested in creating, promoting, and optimizing their content for growth and revenue, you can grab my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markbirdie.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, John, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh, man. This is getting heavy. I would say this. Am I doing what I love? Am I doing what I love for a living? Because I'm sorry, there is zero excuse for anyone listening not to be doing what you love, not to be monetizing your passion. The technology, the tools are such that the gatekeepers are gone. There is no excuse for you not to monetize your passion through social media, through the tools and technology we have. So ask yourself that. Am I doing what I love?
John, thanks for sharing that great question and all of your great insights throughout our time together. A lot of things I have to implement for my LinkedIn, but for anyone who wants to grab a free copy of John's best-selling book, LinkedIn Riches, you can head over to linkedinriches.com. And if you want to listen to John's podcast, you're an audio learner, you listen to podcasts like Breakthrough Success, John has one too at nemoradio.com. Again, all this will be in the show notes, but John, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks, Mark.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn